Even with all the uncertainty ahead, many in Europe probably can't wait for 2011 to end. Take the bankers who work in London's financial district, known as the City. Like their counterparts on Wall Street, they've been the focus of much banker bashing lately in this year of Occupy protests and endless economic turmoil. The World's Laura Lynch went to the City to find out what effect all of that is having on people in the industry.
It's a familiar sound these days. The sound of frenetic activity on the trading floors of the big banks. With all the uncertainty over the euro and the continuing economic gloom in Britain, it's been a stressful year on the trading floors in London's financial district. Apparently, a little too stressful for one senior bank executive.
BBC News at 6 o'clock.
The surprising news broke at the beginning of last month.
Shares in Lloyds Banking Group have fallen by almost 5% after its chief executive announced he was taking long-term sick leave. Doctors say that António Horta Osório is suffering from fatigue due to overwork.
Horta Osório was recruited to run Lloyds earlier this year after British taxpayers bailed out the banking group in 2008. His may have been the most high-profile case of banking sector stress. But addictions counsellor Richard Kingdon says he's certainly not alone.
Especially, you know, with the climate at the moment, it's not helping as well. You know, a lot of people are under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure. It's not a good time to be up here at the moment, you know. The bankers are being kicked, you know, by the media, you know. So I don't think it's doing much for people's esteem.
Kingdon set up a practice called City Beacon in the financial district 2.5 years ago to treat bankers with addiction problems. He's seen a steady flow of clients, those who embraced a fast-paced, big-spending lifestyle fueled by alcohol and cocaine. Not surprisingly, those who seek help demand discretion. And so when one of them agreed to speak to me, he asked that we use his words but not his voice. His remarks here, I'll call him George, are voiced by an actor.
You just do it. You just do it. A lot of the weekends just sleeping and then you get up and you do it again.
George says he's been clean for 2 years, so he's got a pretty clear-eyed take on the tumult in the city these days. He's quick to add there's been much less substance abuse in recent years, but he says not everyone has the ability to handle the financial storms that are hitting them.
Everybody's losing money. It's not a very happy place. There's a lot of fear, uncertainty. I'm pretty fine with it. I don't know how they cope with it. You wouldn't get the truth out of them anyways. They'd just tell you they were fine. The whole city's based on fear anyway.
Those inside the city may well feel fear, but it seems many who work outside London's financial district believe it's a place where the greedy squander money, taxpayers' money. They saw the government bail out some of the banks, then watched as bank executives were rewarded with bonuses. Just a few weeks ago, the BBC aired a documentary called When Bankers Were Good. The host, satirist Ian Hislop, made special mention of the suicide of one banker back in 1856 after his bank went bust.
You see, it's that Victorian shame again. No one's suggesting that those responsible for the current financial crisis should do the equivalent and all go and throw themselves off tall buildings. Well, not all of them, obviously. But as a sign of repentance, it is fairly impressive. Certainly a lot more convincing than giving yourself a bonus and saying it's time to move on.
So, vilified, stressed, and scared. Doesn't sound like a good time to be a banker. But get this. Lots and lots of young people are still itching to get onto those trading floors. Again, it hasn't been easy to find one who's willing to speak about pursuing a career in the city. But one 21-year-old said yes, if I changed his name and disguised his voice. Even then, Simon only agreed to a telephone interview after he finished another long day working as a banking intern.
The worst thing I could imagine is sitting at a desk just processing or number crunching. At the moment, like, I'm sitting there and I'm hearing news firsthand, seeing how markets react to some pretty huge events. In the current crisis, it's very exciting.
Simon worked hard to get this one-year internship, and he says he's looking forward to a long career in banking after he graduates in 2013. He hears the public anger aimed at bankers, but that doesn't deter him.
I think there's a lot of other people in this country and around the world that exploit the public and public opinion a lot more than bankers do. But people have chosen to publicise bankers as a public hate figure and almost scapegoat them for everything.
A more world-weary George, he spent two decades in the business, admits to feeling the sting of the public's condemnation.
Yeah, I do feel that. It's not very nice, is it, to be in a job where nobody likes you?
But is it justified?
I don't think I'm educated enough to really comment on that. I don't think it is. We're good for the economy, but it's easy to point the finger at us, I suppose. And maybe it should be the politicians.
In the run-up to Christmas, thousands of city workers flocked to bars and restaurants celebrating the season, perhaps toasting their survival and relative good fortune. But George says the uncertainty lingers.
2008 was hard, but then 2009 was good because of it, so...
And now?
Same sort of things happening. We're weathering the storm as we did in 2008, but the next couple of years will be good because of it. It's tough these days.
The new year isn't likely to change much for those who work and worry on the trading floors and the executive offices of what is still one of Britain's most important sectors. They'll also know it's unlikely many here will spare them a vote of sympathy. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in London.